Well, Sean, thanks for stopping by. Your second combine as head coach of the Buffalo Bills. How is your role here different than it was a year ago?
Well, I don't know how much different it is, really. Probably the biggest difference is having Brandon and his staff on board with us, which is a great addition for us. And the key here is to make sure that we get to know these young men the best we can in a short amount of time and then be able to set our schedule for March.
Is it a little bit different? You said now having Brandon on board and his entire staff. Is it a little bit different now working with him than it was last year?
Well, listen, I worked well with the last regime as well, but just my familiarity with Brandon speaks for itself in terms of our years together and the trust that we have built up through the years. And then to see him come in and have an effect, a positive effect on what we've been able to do in a short amount of time really speaks for itself.
Now you said you obviously you had the relationship from Carolina. Do you guys have a routine when you would come down here? Like we go to this restaurant and then we go to work and then the next day we go
talked
to this,
about
and then
that.
We go to
yeah,
work.
We talked about that a little bit. And the weird part is a year ago he was still in Carolina. Mm-hmm. So, ironically enough, as well, our meeting space is right next to Carolina's as we evaluate the players on the field in the suite there. So, last year it was the same, so we were able to talk. There a little bit, and then this year it's the same as well. So, there's some comfort with that.
Yeah. Coach, we haven't had a chance to talk to you really since the season ended, after the end of the season. A lot has gone on since then, including a new offensive coordinator. Tell me about Brian Daboll, what you see from him, and how it's gone for the first 6 weeks or so since he's been on the job.
Yeah, I've been able to watch Brian through those 6 weeks, watch his leadership style, watch what he wants to do schematically with the offense and how he's intending to utilize our personnel and also work and integrate with the staff. I think has been done at a high level in a short amount of time. Still a lot of room for growth in what we're doing and how we're doing it. And listen, Brian really cut his teeth around one of the best coaches ever in our league, and Bill Belichick. And I was able to come from a similar coach in Andy Reid. And so we have some similar philosophies on how we want things done and how we see the game. So that's been fun to be a part of.
Coach, it's always talk about when a new coach or coordinator comes in, they have to find players that fit their schemes. For you as a head coach now with the new coordinator coming in, how hard is it for you when you have guys set in their positions? Well, nobody's set in their position, but when you have guys who are still on the team from last year and you say this is what they're good at, how can we, I guess, fit a scheme around these guys?
Yeah, that's the key. Everyone has their systems. I think one of the keys to coaching really is fitting a system to the players that you have. And the hard part right now is that changes every year around the NFL, in particular where we are in our growth pattern, if you will, and just being so young or early in our phase of growth. And just in year two here, there's a lot of turnover from 1 year to the next. Turnover is some that is necessary, brought on by the league through contracts and whatnot, but really the continuity is key. You'd like to be able to maintain as many players as you can, re-sign as many players as you can. If you do that, you're drafting well and the cap stays in good condition. And so that's all part of the process. But knowing our players this year as compared to last year, obviously, has been a good thing for me, at least personally.
You have a new defensive backfield coach, John Butler, who you have some history with. Tell us about him.
Well, John and I have known each other for a certain amount of years, several years really. John and I went to the same high school, albeit John had left before I got in there. And John was a great athlete in his own right. I was not a great athlete, but John was. And he's a Philly guy and brings that type of intensity to the job, which I embrace. So he'll fit into our overall staff. And the great part about John is he has a history of developing players, both at the college level and the pro level, and worked in a similar system in what they did defensively in Houston over the years. And so it's a good get for us and a win-win situation for the team.
Coach, I don't feel like around the league coaches do enough of not just talking about developing players, but actually developing, teaching and developing players. And it seems like that's something you really harp on, is teaching guys and developing guys and not just this is what the playbook is.
Right. There's a lot of different coaches out there that pride themselves in being great scheme guys or great fundamentalists. And I think that's all important. The personnel and the things is just as important, if not more important. Good coaches are good coaches for a reason, but the great ones, to me, have it on the personnel side as well, where they can develop players, identify who has the critical factors that we look for at each position to improve, and then getting on the grass with the players and developing them, not only in year one, but also critically in year two, year three, because again, going back to the cap and drafting, that's a part of it. You keep the cap in good shape if you can develop players and draft well.
What does Terry Robiski bring to your receiving corps?
Well, there's probably not a play out there that Terry hasn't seen.
Yeah, right? I mean, he's been everywhere.
He's been everywhere, yeah. And he's done all of it. And he's had a lot of success in our league and at a high level. He's coached and played in this league and done both at a high level. So I have the utmost respect for Coach Robiski and what he's brought to us so far. I mean, you look at a guy who over the years has developed a number of players, some really good ones, and then he's taken maybe some not-so-household names and developed them over the years into pretty substantial players around our league. So being able to get into a room, which to me is one of the more challenging rooms in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball, and the personalities you get amongst the wide receiver core, and then similarly on the other side.
Don't be like that, Coach. Don't be like that.
You know what he's saying.
That's right. So that's key for us, being able to reach those players and then also develop the Zay Jones, the younger players in that room will be key for us.
You have you've hired a new analytics director, Luis Guillamo. Is that how you say his name?
Guillamo.
What do you have in mind for him? And you mentioned earlier today you look at him as a football analytics guy. What kind of task will you assign to him?
Yeah, I mean, information is important in our business, gathering information, being on the constant daily pursuit for information, not that we use it all, but just building awareness on a big picture level. And then it'll be a part or a variable we use in the overall equation. It won't make a decision for us, but it'll be a factor in making the decision.
In-game decisions, whether to punt, whether to go for it?
Some of those, game management, situational football type decisions, or personnel draft-driven decisions as well, or free agency. So look, wisdom or information is key in our business, and timely information is key. So this is a move for us in terms of trying to get better in every facet of what we do and how we do things, and staying ahead of the curve as much as we can.
You've been coaching in this league for a long time. You played football. You ever feel like sometimes it's like too much information? You start getting all of these different numbers on guys. I mean, ultimately, you've been coaching so long, you have an eye. And you have a feel for your team, for the room, all of that stuff. Do you ever feel like you're getting too much information?
A little bit, and there's times when you have to just cut the fat a little bit. But there's, I look at it like this. If you take the analytics part of it and you add, the gut instinct from the experience and watching film and what's going on then in the game as it relates to game management, I think you're able to come to as good of a decision in a short amount of time as possible.
The time is critical, though. I mean, you got to make all those calculations in a 15,
like
20 seconds.
Right. I wish I had till Monday morning to come up with some of those right answers. But listen, you go through it and you live and learn through it. And I think that's the key, that what happened, you go back and you say, hey, whether it worked out or didn't, you go back and you reevaluate whether it was, in fact, the right decision. Because sometimes you do things that work out that, in fact, maybe weren't the right decision, and other times they go the other way. So just embracing that growth mindset is important.
Talking with Sean McDermott, Bills head coach at the Combine in Indianapolis. A couple of player moves I want to ask you about. Vontae Davis signed earlier this week. Free agent who didn't have to wait for the free agent period. What can you tell us about him, and what do you see his role moving forward with the Bills?
Well, it was a good move for us in a lot of ways to sign a free agent, one of this type of player caliber in this way with Vontae at this time. There's benefits that we see on the field and off the field with a signing like this, and the benefits on the field are a veteran player at a key position, a position we value, that being a corner position. He's going to have to earn it, like all of our players, and earn his spot, earn his role in this football team, and he's got production on the ball and has shown a willingness to tackle, which is an important part of what we do defensively. And so we're anxious to get going with Vontae.
You said earlier you see him more as an outside type of guy. Is he a guy who's just outside, or can he play inside as well?
He has played just a little bit of inside before, and when he's matched receivers. And so we'll look at how he'll pair with Tre'Davious and the other players we have at the position. But most of his work has been outside.
I want to ask you about a guy who had a really good summer and then got hurt, and you've signed him already to come back, Rod Streeter, wide receiver. Mm-hmm. What do you know about Rod? How is his progression from his injury last year, and what possible role might he have?
Really liked Rod when we signed him last year and went through the process with us in the offseason program and training camp, and loved his DNA and what he was all about. Thought he was a fit, really, from that standpoint. And Rod's had a career where he's bounced to a couple different teams and was having, I thought, one of the better preseasons and one of the better training camps, and then he went down with the injury. So, you know, happy and thankful to have him back on board, and he'll add to the mix that we've got in the room there.
Eric Wood, his playing days are over. He has said that. Should we look at Ryan Groy as the heir apparent there, do you think, moving forward? Is that the way you're looking at it?
Yeah, Ryan's done a good job, and I've enjoyed being around Ryan for the year or so that I've been around him. And I know he started a number of games. I believe it was seven in 2016 did a nice job. And so Ryan's leadership, his work ethic, his physicality are all really good places to start for us when you look at making sure we've got a good offensive line up front.
What is your understanding with Kyle Williams right now, and when do you need some sort of certainty from Kyle as to his plans and what his intentions are to move forward?
Yeah, I think it's well documented, my affinity for Kyle and his family, and much like the rest of our players, I should add, what he's done in the community over a number of years, what he's done on the football team and on the football field, and for this organization. These things take time, and, you know, he's a guy that has done a great job of connecting my message as a leader of our group and connecting my message to the locker room, which is important, as we all know. So, you know, these things take time, and we'll just see how it works itself out. It's got to be the right thing for us and the right thing for Kyle and his family, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Quarterbacks are going to be on display here later this week at the Combine. You have two quarterbacks on the roster right now. Tell us about Tyrod, your thoughts on him, and how you've said earlier today that among all the things you could do with Tyrod, releasing him from the roster is not – you're not thinking about
that. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll start with that first. I really don't feel like that's, you know, the direction we're going. I mean, this is a good football player that's was instrumental in helping us reach the playoffs for the first time in 17 years, as we all know. So – Tyrod, you know, when you look at the intangibles, does a phenomenal job. He's one of the first in the building, one of the last to leave, and he's a leader on our football team. So, and I saw him grow during the year as we all grew together, and that was fun to watch. And so, you know, I like where we are right now at the position, and we'll just see how things move forward.
And so many people after, now getting to Nathan Peterman, after his start out in L.A., seems like people forget about Nathan Peterman. And Murph and I have said, I don't think this organization has forgotten about Nathan Peterman. He's still on his roster, and I think they've showed a lot of confidence in him.
Right. He's not a guy that's going to go away. Just when you look at his career, what he's gone through in Tennessee and then going to Pitt, facing some adversity and having won at Pitt. And from a leadership standpoint, how he's developed through that. And that's part of the DNA and the guy that we drafted. And I still have a lot of confidence in Nate. And I'm anxious to watch his growth and what, and the way he comes back and how he's handled this offseason. He's wired in such a way that he's only going to learn and get better from those experiences.
What did you send him away with? What did you tell him to work on? You know, you won't get him back here until April, mid-April, right? Another 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, it was.
What did you want him to work on?
It was fun.
Exit interviews.
Yeah, those exit interviews are fun. You know, and in particular with Nate. Great question, Murph. I started to speak, and really Nate came up with a list already, knowing him. I mean, and the fan base is getting to know him, and that way also. And so. You know, look, he had some bumps in the road and all of which he's going to learn from. And I'm confident in that and confident in Nate Peterman because of it, because going back to that exit interview, he had a whole list of things, what he was doing, when he was doing it, and his plan for the offseason and his growth, which I think is phenomenal for a young player.
Now, getting to some of the guys that are going to be on display this week, a guy like Sam Darnold has come out and said he's not going to throw this week. Is that something that would change maybe your outlook on a guy if they make a decision like that?
Well, it's a part of the overall equation. I don't think it changes an outlook necessarily or makes the decision. I would, from a coaching standpoint, I would love to see every player compete, put their best foot forward, and just trust that a coach, in this case myself, knows enough to know that, hey, yeah, you haven't worked with maybe these receivers or these tight ends necessarily, but come out and put your best foot forward and compete. You know, that said, I know his body of work and a lot of for a lot of players as well, it speaks for themselves. But hey, let's evaluate everybody at the same place at the same time, and let's see put your best foot forward.
What do you get out of the interviews, the personnel interviews that go on here at the Combine this week?
Yeah, the biggest two things are the two M's, and those two being the medical part of it and the mental part of it. So being at the Combine, we're able to get a pretty good feel medically for where guys stand and if there's concerns moving forward, and if there are concerns, you know, will they deter us from drafting them, or are there just concerns that we have to manage moving forward? And then probably as big of an issue for us is the mental part of it, character/mental. A lot of the character we already know about, our scouts do a great job, Brandon and his staff, Joe Shane, do a great job of gathering that information during the year when we are playing and then giving it to us in the early part of the off season here. So we're through some of that, gathering that information and that evaluation, and now we're into, hey, let's talk more about their football IQ, and that's really what goes on in the nightly formal interviews.
Now, for me as a former player, and I know a lot in the media, a lot of different things get blown up here, especially the 40 times. So does it vary based on position? As you talk about quarterbacks, obviously it's the mental and the medical in every position. But then for wide receiver, that for DB, that 40 time might come into play. Is that right? Something that can really deter your decision in drafting a guy?
Yeah, that's why I'm not in the league. Right? So that 40 time, I had everything else but the 40 time.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you look at different measuring sticks. You know, the standards of this position needs to, I look at, you know, these three boxes, and the other positions I look at some other boxes. So some of the stats, some of the Olympic events, if you will, carry more weight based on the position, right?
Like
but at the end of the day, just having your chin over the bar. I mean, there's a lot of players that aren't even here that should be here perhaps, and maybe there's some here that maybe shouldn't be here based on really how they play. And so I think at the end of the day, we know it's a game of football, and we're not able to see them in pads out here, but they got to have their chin over the bar so it doesn't become a fatal flaw like my 40 time is for me, but that they can compete at a high level.
Can you give us an example of a guy throughout your years coaching where you came here, you had a chance to interview him, and you're like, you know what, I like that dude. Just from the interview process, I like that dude.
Oh, wow. I mean, you go back over the years, a number of players that I've had a chance to be in the interview room with, and I'll just go back to Luke Kuechly, a guy that came in the room and right away had a presence, had a way about himself, very respectful of the people in the room, and was able to answer questions and process very quickly, which you could tell the football IQ was on point. So usually the real good ones have real good interviews also, and
yeah.
It's been fun to watch the players really evolve as human beings as well. I mean, the young men that come into our rooms now have, for the most part, a pretty good balance of they were good students, they were not only good people, but they were also good on the field. So that balance, the evolution of that balance has been fun to watch.
Sean, the last thing, you said something earlier today to the media here. You said as far as the Bills, we're not as far along as some people think. What are you thinking there? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, number one is, yes, we made some humongous strides in this first year in a small amount of time, and that really is a credit to our team and everyone in the community as well for the support that we get. Unfortunately, in our business, because of the way the NFL is built, there's such parity around our league. You look at teams from one year that are in the playoffs, the next year they're not. And then you look at a player level. You look at players that have a good first year, and the next year mm-hmm. they, for some reason, slide back. And so there's a lot of that, and that's what makes our league great, part of what makes our league great. And so we talk a lot at One Bills Drive about the store doesn't close for the off season. We have to stay humble and stay hungry. And unfortunately, and I had a direct experience with this firsthand in Carolina, made a Super Bowl, and then you feel like, hey, we just got to do this to win it, and you really don't pick up where you left off, unfortunately, in our league anymore. You got to really, in a lot of ways, start over. And so we go back and hit the reset button and certainly build on some of the areas that were built up and learn and grow from some of the other areas.
The last thing I have, the year from year one to year two, is that something coaches, in terms of players, really think about a lot, because a player, like you just were saying, can really go up and can really go down? Once you get to year 3, 4, 5, I mean, a guy kind of knows what he's doing. But that year 1 to 2 is that real tricky one.
It is, and I think that's a big part of our development with our players, is understanding and trying to use every resource possible. And Terry and Kim Pegula do a great job of providing us with resources through investment to make sure we give our player every resource possible, mind, body, and spirit, to help them develop. And sometimes it's year two, and some occasions it's even year three with some players. After that, as you mentioned, it's, you know, you're off and you're going one way or the other. But it's such a critical point in the development, you see a lot of players that come in and have a lot of success year one, and then they feel like they've got it. And I've done this before, whether it's junior high to high school to college, and then you don't got it because it's such a competitive business where the margins are narrowing every year that you got to really stay on your game and develop even your weaknesses.
Good luck with that. Thank you for spending so much time
with
us
today. Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Head coach Sean McDermott with us. We're at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. It is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.